Heavenly Father, we praise you for your loving kindness towards us. We praise you in every circumstance, no matter what's going on in our lives, because you turn every situation to the good for those who love you. And we do love you. And so we thank you for the way that you direct our lives according to your plan and purpose, which is so beautiful. Greetings, saints. Our reading is 1 Corinthians 13, 11-13. The message. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it as clearly as God sees us, knowing Him directly, just as He knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of the three is love. Now, consummation means the point at which something is complete or finalized. So what is finalized? Well, the plan of salvation was finalized on the cross. Jesus himself said so in John 19, verse 30, in KJV. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. So that's when the salvation plan was completed. But the next phase is where we are now, where you and I are living on planet Earth until Jesus Christ returns. And that will be at the end of the age. And Jesus left us with these encouraging words so that we could stand fast and be steadfast until he returns. In Revelations 22, verse 12 to 14, in KJV. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. So when Jesus returns, and nobody but the Father knows when, so if anybody tells you, oh, Jesus is returning on such and such a date, you know they're speaking from the wrong spirit. But God the Father knows when Jesus is going to return, and when he does return, that will be when this phase of the salvation project is also complete. That's when you and I have worked out our salvation with fear and trembling. So, what we're talking about here, I'll read verse 11 again. 1 Corinthians 13:11 TPT. When I was a child, I spoke about childish matters, for I saw things like a child and reasoned like a child. But the day came when I matured, and I set aside my childish ways. Now, what does the Bible say about being like a child? Well, it's not a bad thing. In Mark 10, verse 15, Jesus himself said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. And again in Matthew 18, verse 4, NLT, Jesus also said, so anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So, is it good or bad to be like a child? Well, when you are a baby or a very young child, then you haven't mastered your language skills yet. So you goo and gurgle and coo and make funny little noises that are so, so cute. But when you grow up and you learn a language, then those noises aren't really cute anymore. Then they're just disturbing. If you carry on making those gurgling, cooing noises when you're older, people will think, well, there's something wrong with the development of this child. So we grow up from being a baby, an infant in that message translation, to being a young child, teenager, young person, young adult, adult, middle-aged person, older person. And so we continue. And when we have developed our language skills, then we leave the gurgling and cooing behind, unless, of course, we're gurgling and cooing at a baby. That's just baby talk, which we sometimes do when we are talking to babies. gurgling goo in me, gurgling goo back at them. But generally speaking, when we are communicating as a grown-up person, being a child, teenager, adult, when we have grown to the extent that we have mastered language skills, we generally use those language skills to communicate and not the gurgling cooing that was so cute as a baby. In verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 13 in the TPT, it says, "For now we see but a faint reflection of riddles and mysteries as though reflected in a mirror. But one day we will see face to face. My understanding is incomplete now, but one day I will understand everything, just as everything about me has been fully understood." And so we know that our knowledge of God, even with the gift of knowledge, even with the gift of wisdom, what we understand about God is a minuscule tip of the iceberg compared to who God is and His character and the bounds of His love and His mercy and His beauty. We are just scratching the surface. We have no cooking clue the extent of God's enormousness, of God's lovingness, of His mercifulness. We don't know the bigness, the hugeness, the awesomeness of God. We are just catching a little glimpse, as if reflected in a mirror, of who He is, as we see Him reflected in the Bible, and as we see Him working in our lives, the way that He comes through for us, the way that He loves us, the way that He protects us and provides for us. That is where we get to know Him, and we do need to get to know Him, but we will only get that complete understanding when we see Him face to face. Right now, we just know a teeny little bit about Him, and as we grow to know Him more and more, we grow to love Him more and more, because we understand how beautiful, how good, and how loving, and how merciful He is. And this is why we focus on Him, because He knows us, and that is reflected in Matthew 6, verse 32. I'm going to read verse 31 to 33. "So then, forsake your worries. Why would you say, 'What will we eat?' or 'What will we drink?' or 'What will we wear?' For that is what the unbelievers chase after. Doesn't your heavenly Father already know the things your bodies require? So above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and His righteousness. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly." So you can see that our heavenly Father knows what we need. He knows us fully. Carry on with verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13 in the TPT. "Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run." Now if you remember in 1 Corinthians 9, we touched on running the race, or I touched on paddling the race, because I'm more into paddling than running, when I used the Berg River Canoe Marathon as an example. And I'll just read 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24b to 25, TPT. "Yet each one of you must run the race to be victorious. A true athlete will be disciplined in every respect, practicing constant self-control in order to win a laurel wreath that quickly withers. But we run our race to win a victor's crown that will last forever." Not many translations depict love as being the prize for which you run. And yet it does relate to running the race, because that is our life on planet Earth. It's the marathon of life. And the love of God, that agape love, that selfless love, is the motivation that keeps us keeping on, that keeps us standing strong. That is what we are looking forward to spending forever, in that beautiful love, in the presence of God who is love. And what is love? Well, that is covered in the earlier verses of this chapter, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7, TPT. "Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements, nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect. nor selfishly seek its own honour. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offence. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. And these characteristics of love should be our character traits. That should be how people describe us. Put your name in there. Where you see love, put your name. I am large and incredibly patient. I am gentle and consistently kind to all. I refuse to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. I do not brag about my achievements nor inflate my own importance. I do not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek my own honour. I am not easily irritated or quick to take offence. I joyfully celebrate honesty and find no delight in what is wrong. I am a safe place of shelter, for I never stop believing the best for others. I never take failure as defeat, for I never give up. And so we can keep on keeping on. We can keep standing, because the love of God is what motivates us. The love of God is the perfect example of the characteristics that we should be mimicking. We should be developing the character traits that is love. So with all that love to go around, let's shine our lights.